Yeah. The deck of yeah on a Monday. Have to do it. Coming off that weekend, what's going on? Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. It is so good to be with you. Yeah. Check this out. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. You want to see rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. All right, lots of show. Let's get at it. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing right now. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The show sets up like this. Coming up next segment, a senior NFL reporter for CBS Sports, Jonathan Jones. 20 minutes out. Second hour is wide open. I've got two interviews coming up in hour number three. A Pac-12 network analyst, good friend of the program, Yogi Roth. Top of the third hour. Coming up in the final segment of the program, Mercedes Lewis, a tight end for the Green Bay Packers. That's coming up at 11:40 Pacific and 2:40 Eastern time. Monday is an ATP day. Have I given you your telephone number? Man, get up in here. 1-800-636-8686. And I want to remind you to follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. All right, first things first. Good morning, Cleveland. Good morning, Cleveland, and Cleveland only. Because, C-Town, you and I were the only ones who believed, that what could go down would go down in Pittsburgh last night. A nation of millions were so prepared to bum rush us. Tell us that we were wrong. Tell us that the Browns is the Browns. That we had no chance. We had no chance. That the Browns making the playoffs were a nice little story. But they were about to get their collective faces broken. And then it would all come crashing down. Except we knew better. Didn't we, C-Town? Didn't we? It was you and I against the world. The way it always is. The way it's always been. Because 7 days ago, I came on this very program. I told you how the Browns were in the playoffs. And that the Browns were giving hope to the entire world. And people tried to clown me. And people tried to mock me. People were saying things like, yo, Rome. Rome doesn't believe any of that crap. He's just doing a bit. Like any other blowhard who just starts to throw crap up against the wall to see what will stick. He's pushing buttons. He's trying to get a reaction. Besides, who the hell would ever look to the Cleveland Browns for hope? Yeah, I heard all your garbage. And the Browns heard all your garbage. Fact of the matter is, in these troubling and challenging times, that's exactly where you should be looking to get your hope. The Cleveland freaking Browns, because they keep on proving everybody wrong. That's right. All week long, I heard, cool, Rome. The Browns made the playoffs, but they could barely beat Pittsburgh's JV squad in a must-win game. And now they have to face a bigger, better Steelers squad in the playoffs. Yeah, Rome, if you're smart, you'll back off the Browns right now before they get their asses kicked and you get your own comeuppance. Pull your chips back now, Rome. Get out while you're ahead. And these same haters and know-nothings were saying that Cleveland got humiliated by the Steelers in Pittsburgh in the regular season. They said they had lost 17 straight in Pittsburgh. Of course they're going to get hammered, especially when you find out just one day later that the head coach and the play-calling wizard, Kevin Stefanski, and two additional coaches and two players had tested positive for COVID. Now you're missing your brilliant young head coach and key players, and you can't even practice. You can't even get into the facility. And if there was no chance that the Browns could win in Pittsburgh with Stefanski, they sure as hell were not going to win there without him. So the haters were starting to guess just how big that blowout was going to be. Not me. I came on this show 6 days ago and I said, if you think the Cleveland Browns are going to give up, you don't know the Cleveland Browns. What you saw as an obstacle, I saw as an opportunity. Now, let me make this perfectly clear. No Kevin Stefanski, no Joel Bitonio, no Olivier Vernon, no Denzel Ward. No doubt. It didn't matter that the Browns head coach was in his basement and their top two corners were out. It did not matter that their practice facility was closed. It didn't matter that they hadn't practiced together as a team in more than 2 weeks. It didn't matter that Baker Mayfield went days without throwing a pass or that their meetings were all done on Zoom. Because the Cleveland Browns aren't just about one man or two men or three men. Man, they're larger than that. The Cleveland Browns are an ideal. And that ideal is awesome and it's inspiring because the Cleveland Browns said, bring it on, man. All of it. Throw absolutely everything you have at us. We want it. We want all of it. Build the mountain higher. Build it as high as you want to make it because it's only going to give us a better view from the top. And they made that perfectly clear on the very first play from scrimmage.
Roethlisberger's in the gun. He's got 3-1. Three on the line. High snap. It's over his head. Bouncing to the 10, rolling to the 5. Recover at the 1. It rolls into the end zone, and Cleveland has recovered. Cleveland has scored a touchdown. Cleveland has scored a touchdown. Oh, what a way to begin.
Westwood won. You see, one team was ready for that game and ready for that moment, and one team wasn't. And the team that was ready was wearing white jerseys, orange helmets, orange pants, and carrying an entire city on his shoulders. And they made that city proud because jumping out to a 7-0 lead was not enough. They wanted more, and they got it.
Five-man rush, shotgun snap, quick throw up the middle. It's caught, grabbed by Landry, 30, makes a tackle, miss at the 20, goes to the 10, runs to the far sideline. The 5 breaks on the tackle at the 2, runs into the end zone, touchdown. A 40-yard catch-and-run touchdown on a pass from Baker Mayfield to Jarvis Landry.
The Browns had run exactly 3 offensive plays. They were already up 14-0, and the Avalanche was just starting. 6 plays later, this happened.
You can see the breath of Mayfield as he bellows the calls. He gets the snap, and he hands off to Hunt. Runs over the left guard, broke a tackle at the 10, broke another tackle at the 5, puts his head down, carries a defender on his back. Touchdown, Cleveland! This is unbelievable! 11-yard touchdown run by Kareem Hunt.
Steelers linebacker Robert Spillane hit Kareem Hunt at the 4-yard line. Kareem Hunt carried him right into the end zone. That summed it up because the Browns were the better team, the tougher team, the more physically dominant team. Then came another INT. Then 3 more plays before this happened.
From the Pittsburgh 8, shotgun formation, 4 wide. Here's the handoff. It goes on a sweep to the near side to Hunt. Hits the sideline, the 10, broke a tackle, 5. Into the end zone with a cut and a touchdown. Another touchdown by Kareem Hunt. A touchdown run of 8. And the Cleveland Browns have gone up 27-0 with under 2 to play in the first quarter.
Then 28-0. That was a grade A, 100% USDA certified ass kicking. It was garbage time in the first half. It was garbage time in the first quarter. They were making plays all over the place on both sides of the ball. They had backup defensive linemen in that game, and they were making plays. And all you dopes, losers, haters who were coming for Cleveland and coming for me suddenly were pretty damn quiet. All you could hear was the cheering from C-Town. Now, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I actually did tell you. If you were shocked by last night, if you were shocked by the Browns jumping out to a 28-0 lead on the road in the playoffs, you have not been paying attention. It didn't matter where their head coach was or wasn't. It didn't matter that Joel Bitonio wasn't there. It didn't matter that Baker Mayfield just met one of his offensive linemen in the locker room before the game. Did you catch that quote? It was incredible. He was talking to Michelle Tafoya after the game and admitted he had just met one of his offensive linemen.
We had Michael Dunn stepped in at left guard for Joel Bitonio, and then Michael got hurt, and a guy named Blake that I introduced myself to literally in the locker room before the game stepped up in the fourth quarter.
Like, hey, Blake, I'm Baker. You ready to go make some history? Because that's what they did. And that's what the offensive line did. They bullied the Steelers all night. That was a blocking clinic, even without Bitonio. And then Jack Conklin got hurt, and it didn't matter. The line was that good. And don't make this about the Steelers slumping either, all right? They've got a Hall of Fame quarterback. They've got a Hall of Fame coach. They've got Pro Bowlers up and down their roster. They were 11-0 not that long ago. So they're good. They're really good. They're one of the best teams in the NFL. They had a damn good look at the Super Bowl run. They just ran into a buzzsaw. So make sure you give the Browns some bleeping credit. I mean, for real.
Credit.
And do not come in here and tell me that game came down to Mike Tomlin's decision to punt on 4th-and-1. It didn't. But you knew the moment that he didn't go for it, the Browns were going to make them pay, just like the legends always do. Ask Baker.
We're here for a reason. And there's a new standard, and we're going to, you know, try and keep it that way.
Or to put it another way, as he ran towards that locker room.
The man himself, baby.
Browns is the Browns.
The Browns is the Browns. The Browns is the Browns. The Browns is the Browns. They're in the playoffs, and now you can apologize to them, all of them, right now. Or let me put it another way to you, to paraphrase a wise man. Surprise, surprise, mother bleepers, Cleveland is back.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker, the king is back.
Surprise, surprise, mother bleepers, Cleveland is back. C-Town, where are you? Get up in here, 1-800-636-8686. Now, it was a Super Wildcard weekend. There were other things that happened. On any other weekend, you know I'm leading with the Bills and Bills Mafia. The Bills advance, and I'm all over that. They will get their own take as well. In terms of the NFL weekend also, I mean, I can do the entire program on that. Second, let's not lose track of the fact that there is a college football playoff championship game tonight. I want to talk about the NFL on Nick. That was fun. I knew it would be, but that was even more fun than I thought it would be. The NFL on Nickelodeon. I will get to that. Man, Bears fans. Bears fans were not happy with me either. Coming off my appearance on the NFL Today on CBS. What's to be unhappy about? You should just listen to what I have to say. I tried to spare you all that. I tried to help you. Next time, just listen. 1-800-636-8686. Let's see some of the reaction before I go to break. Rome Slice. After the Browns' big win and Bitcoin still going up, did you come into the office today doing the Conor McGregor swag walk? Mike in GB. Funny you ask. Adam Hawk was all over that this morning. Adam Hawk's like, yo, boss man, you got to come in here like Connor today. I said, nah, I'm all good. I didn't do anything. I've got nothing to do with Bitcoin being where it is. I've got nothing to do with the Browns. Well, I don't want to say nothing. I just don't want to take all the credit for the Browns. They did have something to do with it. This says, the last time the Browns won a playoff game, Bill Clinton was president, DVDs had not been invented, the Grateful Dead were still touring, Parody Larry was on hold, and Ritt had just become a grandfather for the 7th time. Den Lusks, dear Rome, the Browns won a playoff game? I wouldn't believe it unless I saw it. Signed, everybody except Manti Te'o. Casey, New Hampshire. War, the Steelers going Lene Kakua in the first quarter. At Chandler underscore 1030, quote, you were absolutely brilliant on the NFL and CBS Saturday for many reasons, but most of all, for continuing to ride with America's team. My dad was the voice of the Browns for the drive and the fumble. He had the best seat in the house last night. And he's smiling on Cleveland today. That's cool, Scott. Really cool. Thank you for saying so. Sean tweets, you believed, but the big head went with Pittsburgh. Step your game up, flight deck.
Step your game up.
Rome, even the Amish are celebrating in Ohio today. Go Browns. Signed, Matt in Amish country.
We've been spending most of our lives living in an Amish paradise.
At Mock Moda tweets, Rome, what's more epic than the Browns' historic win is watching Cleveland fans celebrate by gumming horse crap with their toothless meth mouths.
Don't forget Mock Moda.
Come on, Mock Moda. All right, phone lines jumping when we come back. Conversation with Jonathan Jones. Then the second hour is wide open, so you've got plenty of time to get through. Get up in here. Yogi Roth and Mercedes Lewis coming up in hour number three. So one quick question for y'all. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good? There is something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they only use the finest ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And Old Trapper jerky comes in four mouthwatering flavors: Old Fashioned with a hint of brown sugar sweetness, teriyaki, peppered, and if you need a little more zing, they've got hot and spicy. It's chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings and to provide real sustained energy. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. Make Old Trapper part of your weekly grocery list. Keep a good supply on hand for you and your family. If you don't see it, make sure you ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I would encourage you to call, but you couldn't get through if you tried. Not now. And that's the way it should be after a Super Wildcard weekend. All right, phone call is coming up a little bit later on, but first things first, we are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter and insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. He is part of Tops on CBS Sports Network. He previously worked for the Charlotte Observer and was a national NFL writer for Sports Illustrated. He is Jonathan Jones. Jonathan, good to have you back. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim, and I don't think we've talked in 2021, so Happy New Year to you and yours.
You too, bro. Happy New Year to you and yours. Now, if I had told you before last night's game, Jonathan, that the Browns, without their head coach and play caller and multiple assistants, their top two corners and a Pro Bowl offensive lineman were going to jump on the Steelers 28-0, what would you have said?
You're insane. There's no way at all that it's going to happen. You know, I had the Steelers going into this game because they were missing their coach of the year candidate, head coach Kevin Stefanski. But, you know, if they had Kevin Stefanski going into that game, I was absolutely taking the Browns because of how bad the Steelers looked. Listen, they played 20 quarters of football in December, and they only looked good for two of those quarters. And that was the second half against the Indianapolis Colts, where Ben Roethlisberger and the offense looked like a team that actually was worthy of 11 wins. But Mike Tomlin decided to rest them all for week 17, and that was his decision. Maybe Roethlisberger needed that time off because of his multiple ailments, but it looked very clear that the Pittsburgh Steelers were rusty early on in that game. They finally got into a rhythm, and then, of course, Tomlin, not believing in the right kind of momentum, punting there on fourth and short when the obvious move was to go for it. Just a mess of a game for the Steelers, and it's going to be a very long offseason in Pittsburgh.
Jonathan Jones joining us. I'll double back to that point in 1 minute, but as you tweeted during the game, quote, the copious amount of bleep Baker Mayfield is going to talk after this. Like, what does a win like this mean for him and for the confidence of that Browns team?
Well, it's huge, and I mean, everybody knows what the Cleveland franchise has been through these last several decades. And so, you know, to get that win in Pittsburgh, a place where you were, what, 6-44 or something like that, leading up to that game, against an arch rival in the playoffs, it's obviously huge. However, you know, this is a team, and I said this at the start of the year, they seemed like front runners. If they get a lead on you, they're probably going to win. If you can get ahead of them early, you're probably going to win, more so than the average team. But they've kind of shot that idea into the sun this season. They can play from behind. They can play in front of teams. The only thing is, you know, it's a huge win. But now they have a gigantic test, of course, against the Chiefs. So, you know, the 24-hour rule goes into effect here, where celebrate it, enjoy it, but you absolutely have to turn your attention as quickly as possible back to a team that I believe is going to repeat as Super Bowl champions.
Jonathan Jones is joining us. All right, so finish that thought, if you would. When you've got a couple of powerhouse running backs the way the Browns do, and you've got a physical offensive line the way they do, is it a style of play that can travel to Kansas City and cause some problems?
Yeah, it absolutely is. You have a cold weather team. You know, they're built and equipped. Cleveland is to win in January. We've seen them win in December and January now. So yeah, it's possible. It's just that I don't know what team in the NFL of the 31 can actually beat the Chiefs. There are teams that can give them games, and we've seen it. There's a fluke where the Raiders can beat them, right? But, you know, the Bills are going to give them problems if they meet in the AFC title game. I think the Browns are going to give them problems if they meet. But the thing that it comes down to, at least for the Chiefs, is they just can't beat themselves. When you look at the first 12 games of the season, the Chiefs only turned the football over 8 times through those 12 games. In Mahomes' final 3 games of this season, since he sat out the last game, they had 7 turnovers, and so including that 3-pick game against Miami. So, you know, they have to take better care of the football, and as we have seen with the Cleveland Browns coming off, especially this win last night, they can be an opportunistic defense, so you cannot turn the football over against them.
We are talking to Jonathan Jones. All right, let me move along then. You know, there's so much, Jonathan, to unpack from that Ravens-Titans game. First of all, what did you make of how Lamar Jackson showed up, and in particular that narrative that he can't win playoff games?
Yeah, I thought the narrative was a little ridiculous. I mean, listen, he struggled in his rookie season in that playoff game, and he got better there as the game wore on. And then in his next playoff game, obviously a loss to the Titans, he accounts for 500 yards of total offense. The team just can't get it done on fourth down. So, you know, it wasn't like he was a bum out there in playoff games. And, all right, the first quarter takes a little bit to get going, but you have a defense in the Baltimore Ravens that can bottle up Derrick Henry the way that they were able to, you know, turn over Ryan Tannehill. And then, of course, Lamar Jackson, I don't really care about passer rating with him. I don't care about yards per attempt or anything like that. He makes the plays that shifts the entire momentum. And listen, we can talk about analytics and we can talk about whether momentum is real or not, but I think everyone watching, everyone at Nissan Stadium, and certainly the guys on either sideline felt when Lamar Jackson broke off that 48-yard touchdown run where he looked like the fastest quarterback that's ever been in the NFL, and how can you catch this guy when he does this, that's backbreaking. And when you have a guy who can do things like that at the right time, and we can go back to the Cleveland Browns game from a few weeks ago when he did that exact same thing and broke their backs, when you have that, that's going to allow you to win football games in the month of January.
Right. I'm not sure I've ever seen a play quite like that from a quarterback. Jonathan Jones joining us. I mean, there was that stretch during the season when the Ravens were not looking at all like themselves, but as you point out, they're rolling right now. So how tough are they? And when they're running like this, how scary a proposition is that for the Bills?
Well, it's really scary. And the fact is, when they went through that sort of midseason lull where Lamar didn't really have his deep ball, and, you know, they didn't face a bunch of tomato cans. You know, they lost to Pittsburgh when Pittsburgh was rolling. You know, they eked out they crushed the Colts, but they lost the Pats and the Titans in overtime and the Steelers again. So, you know, it wasn't like they were just giving up L's to a bunch of teams that we'll never see in the playoffs. I thought that they didn't handle the toughest part of their schedule all that well, but the games they were supposed to win when they needed to, they did. So, yeah, again, the run game is going to travel on the road. And the Bills, of course, feeling very good. It's still just a really difficult matchup. The Ravens are probably the fourth best team in the playoffs right now. You have Kansas City at 1, and then whatever sort of argument you want to make for the Packers or Bills at 2 and 3, I'll listen to. And then I think the Ravens are right there at number 4.
Right. So on top of that, then, coming out of the Super Wild Card weekend, was there a team or maybe two that changed your perception at all of them and their chances to win it all?
Well, you know, to win it all, I still think that we're talking about the Packers out of the NFC, and I think that we're talking about the Chiefs out of the AFC. And I'll be surprised if it's not those two teams meeting in Tampa. However, I love the resolve and the grit that I saw from Jared Goff and that L.A. Rams team. That, yeah, okay, the defense stepped up, and Russell Wilson kind of continued his slide there, as we saw in the second half of the season. But what Jared Goff was able to do with that thumb just 12 days removed from surgery, okay, 9 of 19, 155 yards. They're not wow stats, but he took care of the football. He clearly, early on in that game, did not trust where he was going to be able to place the football. But the fact is that he did not turn the ball over. He took care of it. The offensive line, for the most part, kept him clean, and he made solid decisions, really throwing the ball down the field. It wasn't a whole bunch of, hey, we're going to throw behind the line of scrimmage and let our receivers go. I think only a third of his entire yardage came from yaks. So I very, very much liked what I saw from Jared Goff, and I think that he proved a lot in that game.
I thought he showed a hell of a lot of grit and a hell of a lot of toughness, and we know they've got a Super Bowl-caliber defense already. Jonathan, one last topic before you go. You've got, they weren't in the playoffs, but the Texans have managed to generate a lot of headlines over the past week. What's your overall sense of the nature of things in Houston, especially as it relates to Deshaun Watson? I mean, have they blown up that bridge altogether, or is that situation with he and their franchise quarterback salvageable?
Yeah, I believe right now it still is salvageable. I do not think that the bridge has been totally obliterated, and he will never be back with the Houston Texans. You have, of course, the contract. That would be very difficult to move. Obviously, a number of teams would happily take on that contract and probably give up however many first-round picks that you want. This all stems, of course, from Cal McNair and the weak sort of ownership that he has presented ever since taking over for his late father, letting Jack Easterby kind of take the controls over there. And any number of different issues that we have chronicled throughout the past 2 years with the Houston Texans. So, you know, if you're Cal McNair, first of all, you should have never really told Deshaun Watson, hey, you're going to have input and say in this. But once you do, you have to let him have input and say, or at the very least, don't let him find out as he's vacationing via Twitter of who you have decided to hire as general manager. You definitely need to give him a heads up before that information leaks out, considering all that you have done in the weeks and months leading up to that. So I understand Deshaun having been told something to his face and then the opposite happening, why he is distrustful of the organization on top of everything else that's gone on. But no, I don't think that Deshaun Watson's time in Houston is necessarily up just yet.
He is a senior NFL reporter and an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. You can also see him on Tops on CBS Sports Network. He is Jonathan Jones. Jonathan, Happy New Year. Great to have you back on. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
You too, Jonathan. Good job, as always. Jonathan Jones, pro. All right, phone lines are open all the way until the top of hour number three. So get up in here. Let's do this. 1-800-636-8686. The Browns advance. The Bills advance. The Ravens looking pretty scary all of a sudden. I've got thoughts on the Bucks. TB43 looking good. And so much more. Yogi Roth, top of the third hour. Mercedes Lewis coming up in hour number three. Got an ATP as well. But first, a sports update. Here it is. Here is Andrew Bogish.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports. Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As you know, Monday is an ATP Day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So you want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. I will answer one of them later on. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so I don't want to spend the entire program on the Browns. I don't want to, but I could. I mean, part of me wants to. But there are other topics and other teams, such as the Bills and some of the other matchups that I want to get to. But let me just finish the thought. Let me finish the thought on the Browns. Browns 48, Steelers 37. And the city of Cleveland, infinity to the power of infinity.
Fun times in Cleveland again.
Still Cleveland.
Look, I'm not here to make it all about me. Because I don't like making things about me, because you know me, I'm not about that. This is about C-Town and the Browns. But there is a saying that you all know. Real recognizes real, meaning the real ones know the other real ones. That's why Odell Beckham used me as a voiceover in his IG hype video last year. Have you forgotten about that already? It's why my guy Darius Butler tweeted at me last night that he knew I was on one. And it's why the gloss, America's team for the Browns, is now catching on nationwide, whether you like it or not. Again, I'm not here to pimp myself. I'm not here to gloss myself. I'm not here to floss myself. I'm not here to make it about me. However, WKYC in Cleveland is. Check out this video from their newscast last night after our Cleveland Browns rolled the Steelers and WKYC rolled some of the victory tweets.
Meanwhile, radio host Jim Rome, who has been a Browns believer for some time, tweeting, "No head coach, no Batonio, no Vernon, no doubt, America's team." Yes, he has been calling the Browns America's team for a while, too. And LeBron James also showing his support and excitement, tweeting, "Let's go."
Did you hear that? I mean, there's breaking out from Santa Barbara to San Diego, and then San Diego to National. They're starring in Space Jam. There is starring in The Longest Yard. There's being in a Blink 182 video. There's going into the Radio Hall of Fame. And then there is that. A local Cleveland newscast rolling my tweet and saying, quote, "Jim Rome, who has been a Browns believer for a long time, he has been calling the Browns America's team for a while."
Meanwhile, radio host Jim Rome, who has been a Browns believer for some time, tweeting, "No head coach, no Batonio, no Vernon, no doubt, America's team." Yes, he has been calling the Browns America's team for a while, too.
So how awesome is that? Getting local love and credited for standing by that team as long as I have. Man, I'll take it. I appreciate that, and I'll take that. And did you hear who they read after me? Did you hear who they put me in front of?
"No head coach, no Batonio, no Vernon, no doubt, America's team." Yes, he has been calling the Browns America's team for a while, too. And LeBron James also showing his support and excitement, tweeting, "Let's go."
Oh, and this guy LeBron, too. He's also been on board. WKYC just read my tweet in front of Akron's very own LeBron James. You know, a dude who was born and raised there and brought a championship to C-Town. I just bumped that guy. Hey, LeBron, this is what you get for not putting me in Space Jam 2 and for leaving Cleveland twice. Just kidding, King. No disrespect, Bron. Hey, listen, some of you can't stand how hard I go for the Browns, and I get it. I'd be pissed also if I had years to jump on this bandwagon, years, and never did. Years of me inviting everybody along and saying, "Get in while the getting's good." Years of an extended hand to join that movement. If I had missed out on that and missed out on last night, I'd be pissed too. You want to take it out on me though. You want to take it out on me that I was right and you were wrong. I mean, misguided. Misguided anger though is a common human flaw and trait. We all do it. So yeah, I'll be your Huckleberry. I'm fine with that. You want to come at me because I never wavered ever through all this time. Go ahead. But you know what that is? That's faith. That's faith. Maybe you saw that faith on display on national TV Saturday when I said the Browns would win this game on the NFL on CBS, a show watched by, I don't know, trillions of people. Trillions who seemingly had their pitchforks sharpened and ready to go for prime time. Trillions looking to run up that hill and get my head on that pitchfork. Yeah, now look at me, getting name checked by the locals, being read ahead of LeBron James, getting tweeted out by former NFL pros who knew that the Browns' victory had me, quote, on one last night. Hate all you want, because like I said, real recognizes real, and that's all that matters. That and the fact that Cleveland rocks.
Cleveland rocks! Cleveland rocks! Cleveland rocks! Cleveland
I've always said it. Because Cleveland and I go back, way, way back. We have history. I saw it coming. What an amazing night. 1-800-636-8686. Them reading my tweet before LeBron is pretty hilarious. Only thing that ever happened like that in my life before One night way, way, way back in the day, Janet and I went to Mr. Chow's, our favorite restaurant in Beverly Hills, a spot we used to go to all the time before we moved down to Orange County. And I love that spot. And we went in there one night and had an early reservation, one of the earlier reservations. And I said to Janet, well, and it's a celebrity spot. You never know who you might see there. That's where that anonymous rapper, who I will not mention by name, tried to pick up on Janet one night when I was not there. Same restaurant, Mr. Chow's. So we go in there early, one of the earlier seatings. I go, hey, I'll tell you what. The one guy we're not going to see tonight is Robert De Niro. I'll tell you that. Not with this reservation. We're waiting at the front of the restaurant to get our table, and I feel this commotion, like this energy, this wave, and people are moving out of the way. And I feel like there's like even photogs. And I swing around to see what the commotion's all about, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's Robert De Niro. How weird is that, Janet? Let's get out of the way for the big man. And understand, this was like back in, I mean, hell, the 90s even? Like, Robert De Niro was the biggest thing in the world. So I'm like, I have no problem with this. I'm like moving out of the way. And the maitre d' is coming fast. He's coming fast right at us. I'm trying to move out of the way. Guy goes to me, Mr. Rome, your table is ready. I'm like, hell yes, it is. Bobby, sorry about that. So I had that second feeling. I had that moment again when I saw that local anchor name check me and read my tweet before Bronze. I got that on Bobby De Niro, and I got that on Braun. 1-800-636-8686. What a night for C-Town. Let's go. Why don't we go in market and be on topic? Speaking of Akron, Joe in Akron. What's going on, Joe? Good to have you on. How are you?
Romy, my Michael Fox-trotting homie. What's happening, partner?
What's Thanks up, partner?
Listen, just so you and the clones know, here in Ohio, non-essential businesses have to close at 10 p.m. That means if we wanted to watch the end of the game, we had to go home and watch it away from fans. So please forgive us if we don't know how to act right now. Geographically, Pittsburgh is closer to Cleveland than Cincinnati, Buffalo, and even Detroit. And we've lost a whole generation of fans to the Steelers because for 31 years, that's right, 1989, look it up, clones, the Steelers have finished ahead of us in the standings every single year. And we are finally a better team than them. Yeah, you were you mentioned the local news. They only read three tweets, yours, LeBron, and some kid we got in the Lindor Carrasco trade. So thank you so much for all the karma and having our backs. War, the Ohio State Buckeyes keeping the party going tonight. War, the return of the Mike and Indy. War, Jason Whitlock on the pod. And war, America's team shocking the world again next Sunday, defeating the champs.
Joe in Akron. All right, Joe, thank you very much. 1-800-636-8686. You know, it's not just Cleveland has always treated me so, so well. Again, this was one of the first major markets that this show expanded to. I had a number of tour stops early on. I always felt the love. So I've always been so quick to back C-Town and stand up for Cleveland. But that's not what this is about. This was not. And again, a lot of you were like, it's just shtick, man. It's just shtick. It's just a bit. It's not what that is. It's twofold. I respect and appreciate that town, man, and their passion and their grit. And how much they love their team. And I saw what they were building. They were building a monster. They were building a bully. I loved what I saw in the pieces they were putting together. This is why I've been hammering and banging that drum so loud. This is not a bit. This is not shtick. I truly did believe. Ride or die. I was not going to bail on these guys. And Bill's Mafia. I've not forgotten about you. I have not forgotten about you. I will get there. On any other day, you know I spend the entire first hour on you. But that's how dramatic that was last night. In fact, let me get you in right now. Let's go to Buffalo. Jake in Buffalo. Good to have you, Jake. How are you?
Jim, give me Baltimore. The Buffalo Bills managed to get outplayed on Saturday and still win a football game because that's what good teams do. And honestly, Jim, I thought that Brian Daboll's game plan was a little vanilla. Like, that game plan was so boring. James Kelly's wardrobe thought that maybe the Bills could spice things up a little bit. And on the topic of big head threads, I know that Costco has become a topic on the program, but that doesn't mean that James Kelly should buy his shirts off a metal table in the middle of a warehouse. Like, JK, I never thought that I'd point someone to Hawk for fashion advice, but maybe mix in a pattern or two, dog. You're a pocket protector away from auditing my taxes. I mean, Jim, I'm no Radio Shack employee, but I'm pretty sure I heard Josh Allen audible to James Kelly on Saturday, and the team ran Fighter 2Y Banana Republic. But, Jim, when it comes to this era of Bills football, with our annual playoff appearances, dominant regular season, and now a playoff win, it's really time for the haters to just shut the hell up. Before you took your vacation, I heard Jeff in SoCal take a run at my boys. Jeff, dude, you're a Dolphins fan from Southern California. How exactly does that happen? Like, did you look at a map and figure out how to root for a city that's the trashy, geriatric version of the one you live in? Like, man, I like palm trees and sunshine, but any fan base I'm a part of has to be all about Ed Hardy and methamphetamine. Jeff, keep the Bills name out your mouth, because this franchise doesn't have time for dopes like you. Stick to what you know, like regrettable takes about women's sports and getting your sorry ass rung up. Anyway, Jim, I know you don't root, brother, but how about you give Buffalo some of that jungle karma, because the mafia freaking deserves this. War a Bills-Browns AFC championship game in Orchard Park, New York. I'm out.
Rack him. Nice job, Jake. You are officially a watch lister.
Rack him.
A smack-off watch lister. Not golden ticket worthy, not yet, but close. I like what I hear. Well, I definitely have thoughts on the Bills and the offense they ran, the way they got it done, the numbers they allowed. I mean, if you had said to the Colts before that game, if you said to Frank Reich before that game, this is what this would look like, these are the numbers you'd put up, this is how many times you'd turn it over, would you take that all day long? And they still found a way to get it done. No, they didn't dominate the way they had in recent weeks, but I'm going to argue that that was not an example of them getting exposed. That actually was a good thing. Trust me, they'll be sharper. Now, they're going to have to be sharper. Playing that game does not get them a win this week, but they'll be sharper. They'll be better because of it, and I want to get into that. As mentioned, getting lost in all of this is the college football playoff championship game this evening, Ohio State and Bama. Yogi Roth joins me at the top of hour number three. We'll break that down. Packers had the all-important bye. Mercedes Lewis, a tight end for the Packers, joins me at 11:40 Pacific time. And we're just rolling telephone calls on this Monday. Hour number two is straight ahead. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. One phone line is open, 1-800-636-8686.